Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church. Welcome to this gathering of Kensington Unitarians on a bank holiday Sunday in August. I have it on the best authority that the sun is trying to come out. And I know that our neighbourhood is busy preparing itself for Notting Hill Carnival, which this year is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Some of you may be planning to join the carnival parade after our time together here. And some of us will be moving swiftly in the opposite direction. But let's here now create this place as a peaceful, loving sanctuary of the spirit in the midst of this busy city. Let's take a conscious breath and allow the hustle and the bustle of everyday life to just drop away for a while. Let's create this as a safe space for all. Whoever you are, however you are feeling, wherever you have come from, and wherever you hope you may be going, rest a while here. Make this a time and a place for you to recharge your internal batteries, perhaps, to top up your own sense of well-being, maybe, to think fresh thoughts and view life's issues from a different perspective, maybe to lay down anything that feels like a burden, even if only for a while. We are here now together. Welcome. Welcome one and all. And I'm lighting our chalice this morning, a chalice which connects us with Unitarian communities all around our world, that its one light can remind us all that we are one people in all our diversity, with all our differences, yet we are one human race. May we find ways to share what we have and to enjoy together the land which supports and sustains us. A story about what the people are like around here, and after that I think our children's group are leaving for entertainments of their own. It's a Sufi story of a man who was sitting at the gates of a town, an older man, and a rider stopped, a horse rider, and asked him, what are the people of this town like? And the old man asked, well, why do you ask this? And the rider said, well, the people of the town I've just come from are really nasty. I was so upset by them, I had to leave that town. And now I want to become a resident of some other town. So I'm asking you how the people of this town are. And the old man said, brother, you'd better move on. The people of this town, they are even nastier than the one you've just left. Here, you're going to get into messes. Go on, look somewhere else. And the rider moved on. Just behind him, a horse and cart came to a halt. And a man looked around and he said, grandfather, how are the people of this town? Because I'm needing a new place to live. And the old man asked the same question. Well, how were the people of the place you've just left? Tears came to the eyes of that man. And he explained, I didn't want to leave that place, but I had to. The people there were so loving, and now wherever I live, I will hold the memory of those lovely people in my mind. But I needed a job, I couldn't find work there, I had to leave and come here to earn money. But I've got one ambition. Whenever I can, I'm going to go back to that place where I used to live. Kind-hearted people. And the old man said, well, you're welcome. You'll find the people of this town to be even more loving than the people of the place that you've left. And the horse and cart went on. Now, there was someone else listening to this conversation. She'd heard what the horse rider had said and the old man's answer. Then she'd heard what the man on the horse and cart had said and the old man's answer. And she said, "You've really surprised me. You said to one man that this place is horrible and nasty and full of yucky people. And you've said to the other that this place has loving people in it." "Well," the old man explained, "people, they're just the way that you are." And that's the story of several towns and several people. A time of prayer and reflection now. A time to connect with that which is of ultimate worth to us, whatever name you give that. As our neighbourhood prepares itself for 2 days of carnival celebrations, let's join in prayer for our streets and for the streets of our world, for the busy thoroughfares through our cities that enable us to get from A to B, that hold our shops, our offices, our homes. Let's give thanks for those who keep our streets clean, the often unseen workers who sweep up our mess. Let's give thanks for all those who keep our streets lit at night and those who make them safe. Let's give thanks for those who make plans for our transport and those who work in shops and offices. May all be guided by a yearning to make life better for everyone, not just ourselves. And let's pray for those who find themselves on our streets, sleeping or begging. May we be more understanding and less judgmental in relation to all who are on a different path from ours. May anyone who is struggling with addictions, with money worries, with housing problems, may they find the help they need. May all who are coerced into ways of life they have not chosen find paths of freedom and support. And let's pray for all places in the world where the streets are not safe, where battles rage or earthquakes destroy, for those places where people are oppressed, where poverty means there is little in the shops to buy and little money in the pocket to buy anything with. May we find ways to live with greater equality, to more sharely fare the resources of this world, and to bring economic justice to all our world agreements. Let's take a few moments of stillness now to direct our thoughts and prayers to places and people most in need this day. And may those we pray for know that we care this day and all days. Amen. This short reading by Richard S. Gilbert reminds us of all that we share in life. Let us celebrate the common rituals that make us kin. The poignancy of welcome and farewell, the anguish of defeat, the tender touch of those who call us friend, the exuberant joy of birth, and the empty space in our hearts when a loved one dies, the ultimate loneliness that each knows, and the warm embrace of comrades who welcome us to the celebration of life. The questions that persist and perplex and do not yield to our need for answers. The shining moments when the sun slants across our dim, meandering path and illuminates the way. The strange and anxious excitement of moving on to new places to call home. The fragments of frustration when our best efforts yield pitiful results. The helplessness we feel in a world that sometimes presents only problems. And the high joy when some small victory for humanity is won and we have helped it happen. In all our moments of doubt and despair, of problem and pain, let us remember the common lot shared by our human kin. In all our times of truth and triumph, of faith and fortitude, let us celebrate what we share. For we are, after all, in this together. Words by Richard Gilbert. In Greek mythology, there is a story of King Procrustes, who ruled for many, many years. He was a strange man, and he had a strange way of treating his guests. He'd made a beautiful guest house with a wondrous golden bed, studded, they say, with precious stones, with rubies and diamonds aplenty. But it's said that only a few guests ever stayed in his guest house, and even fewer ever came out alive. Because his principle was that the guest had to fit the bed. Now, this is a strange idea, and he was a powerful man. Guards were standing there with swords to fit the guest to the bed. If the guest's head was too long, it was cut off. If you were too short, then traction would pull you from either side. Sometimes the legs would come off, and King Procrustes would stay in that room until his servants made the guest fit the bed. Now, naturally, very few guests ever reappeared after a night on the golden bed in the guest room of King Procrustes' palace. And slowly, people became suspicious. What happens? Whoever arrives as a guest never comes out of that palace. And eventually, some servant leaked the message. Nobody should ever come to stay, because that guest bed is not made for humanity. The bed is made as a piece of art, and humanity has to fit to it. So guests stopped coming to the palace, but the emperor never really learned the error of his ways, that trying to make people fit our idea of how they should be is never a good way to live life. Because in the end, well, they just stop coming to stay the night with you. But when it comes to people's behavior on our streets, I think some of you, would like to fit everyone else to fit our ideals of how they should behave. If I could have three wishes for the carnival, it would be that all litter would be carefully put in the litter bins provided where it belongs. That all whistles and horns would be silenced, or their tune changed to birdsong, and that nobody, absolutely nobody, would shout or laugh loudly or play sound systems after a reasonable hour, say 10:30 p.m. when all sensible people like me are making a bedtime drink of cocoa and listening to Radio 3 or Radio 4. Or even better, getting tucked up in bed and reading a wholesome self-improvement book or one of or one of those theology textbooks that I know everybody in my congregation reads. Is this not how everyone chooses to live? So this is why spirituality on the streets is such a useful area of study for each of us from time to time. Because everyone does get out on the streets, and everyone is different, and we all have different priorities, and there's much we can learn by observing our reactions to others. In every reaction of joy, every feeling of challenge, every fear and every confusion, there is a source of potential understanding for us, a better understanding of ourselves and the issues that trigger us. Can I love the one who drops the litter? The one who begs? The one who has no home and uses our church garden as a toilet? The one battling with addictions? The one who hogs two seats on the bus and has to be asked quite clearly before they will move their bag and let me sit down? Can I accept the pickpocket? The one who gets into a drunken brawl? Even the foolish youngster who thinks they need to carry a knife in order to be safe? Loving such people, accepting such people. It doesn't mean we approve of their actions, does it? But it does mean we are activating a more thoughtful part of our mind. The part that is curious, the part that is respectful, the part that remembers, this too could be me. Given the particular circumstances this person is in, would I be any different from them? Would I have made other choices? Who can ever know? This is the spiritual teaching that reminds us there's a spark of God in everyone we meet, a divine potentiality in all that exists here on planet Earth. Who are we to judge? What was Jesus' injunction? Judge not, lest ye be judged. Yet we humans are judging machines, and we can't stop our judgments, but we can reflect upon them, and we can choose to not allow them to rule our minds, because we're greater than our judgments, we're greater than our opinions, and we are greater, I believe, than our unconscious thought processes. I like writer Claudia Michel's version of this teaching. She writes, "Everywhere I look, I see myself. There I go, that limping man, this angry child, that fearful cat, that cool stone, that bubbling brook, that worm struggling for its life, that bird desperate to feed her hungry babies, this one trapped in his rage, this one anxious but fearful of finding out why. They're hardly strangers. Empathy is the life of the soul," she writes, "because the soul that allows us to see the one in the other is the soul that finds joy." If we build our lives in such a way that we can only be happy and at peace surrounded by people just like us, well, we may as well build ourselves a hall of mirrors to inhabit and stare only at reflections of ourselves. That will be as limiting as old King Crusty's bed that all his guests were cut in shape in order to fit. Maybe instead of trying to get others to fit in with our ideas of how they should be, we can start to appreciate them just as they are. Accept them as they are, with their whistles and their car horns, with their dropping of cans and litter, with their loud conversations and their music played far too late. And maybe then we really will be celebrating the truth that we are in this thing called life together. Happy Carnival, everyone. Amen. And so may this neighbourhood's carnival weekend be blessed both by good weather and by good cheer. May people be kind to one another. May our streets be safe. And may the carnival spirit of exuberant diversity touch all our hearts and help us accept the endless varieties of how to live here together on our planet earth home. Amen. Go well, and blessed be.